5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister looking. The look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you this evening. Welcome to 2016. This is show number 2 for the year 2016. I hope you're able to join me on Friday night. Very fascinating encounter off of the East Coast. Spoke to Nobby, not his real name, but spoke to Nobby. Very, very fascinating encounter, and I want to thank him again for coming on the show. If you get a chance, check out the website, SasquatchChronicles.com. I keep the blog updated, as well as additional shows throughout the week. Got a lot of things planned for 2016. I think a lot of the subscribers are going to like what I have coming up. I don't want to make too many promises right now, but I think you guys will really like what I have in store. And remember, if you've had any sort of encounter and you'd like to come on the show, you'd like to share the encounter, come on the show. I won't tear you up. I won't beat you up. I promise. Shoot me an email. Wes@SasquatchChronicles.com is my email address, and be sure and include your phone number too as well, or a way for me to contact you. And I want to thank all of the previous guests for 2015. It was a great year last year. I wish you all the best in 2016. Whatever you put your mind to, whatever your dreams you have, don't let anyone ever knock you down. Don't let anyone ever beat you up. Keep pushing forward and make your dreams and your goals come true. Thank you again for being here. Thank you for listening. First up on the show, I want to welcome Bob and Mo, our favorite researchers down there in Texas. Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for being here.
Happy New Year to you, Wes, and to all your listeners.
Happy New Year's, Wes, and we're glad to be here.
Yeah, it's interesting, guys. I woke up this morning. You know, we don't get a lot of snow here in Vancouver. It's kind of it's an interesting place. It's I'm a couple hours from the mountain. I'm a couple hours from the ocean. I'm a couple hours from being in the middle of the forest. And I woke up this morning to about an inch and a half of snow out front. So I'm pretty much snowed in at this point. I'm sure everyone in Canada and Alaska and Colorado and probably most on the East Coast are laughing at me, but it's a lot of snow for here, but how are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're out in the field right now, man. We're in one of your favorite spots.
Is that the hunter's camp?
No, it's the other one. It's the log throwing place.
Oh, great. Well, be safe while you're there.
Well, he was carrying the log around looking for that ball-headed guy. I told him he didn't live in the state, and he said he was heading up that way.
I'm sure he is. Well, I wanted to have you guys back on the show. I know you guys are doing the expeditions February, April, and I believe May, aren't you?
We're doing it in February. We're doing it in March. We're doing it 2 weekends in April, which is the very first weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we're doing the very last, which I believe is the 29th, 30th, which falls into May 1st, being Sunday.
If you would, Mo, kind of tell people a little bit about the expeditions. What can someone expect?
Again, we're not guaranteeing a sighting. I mean, anybody out there that would guarantee a sighting, I would pretty much like to sit them down and have a long, hard talk with them about Squatches and the way they are. But we are going to be doing day expeditions to hot spots. And we're going to be doing some night expeditions to some hot spots. There's some areas where we found, communications or signals from Squatches that we would like to take people to. Pretty freaky, get a weird vibe out there. But we're going to be, we're going to have two guides, and Bob is going to be there. And, we're just hoping that we get, some good vocals. We're hoping that we get some possible sightings. I mean, anything is possible out there. We're asking people that want to sign up for this just to come with an open mind.
We're going to give everybody an opportunity to, put their audio out if they want to bring it. And anybody who has night vision, bring it. Everything's welcomed. Also, we've been talking a lot about if this goes pretty well and everything, that we'll probably bring back the show, the radio show, and have people come in or come on that has gone out with us and give us, give the people out there their experience, what they felt and, what they got out there. And everything anybody gets is theirs. I mean, that's the way it's always been. If you go out there and you find a track that's castable, then you cast it. It's yours. And if you go out there and you got some fantastic sounds, hey, those are yours. And if you got some fantastic video, that's yours. That's yours to keep. That's yours to use. And the copyright, all yours. I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that. And it would be very exciting to have people come on if we do redo the show. It would be very exciting to have people come on and tell us what they experienced and everything. Of course, we're going to have a wrap session, before we close up shop at, on Sunday. And everybody can, talk about what they experienced there too also. And I'm going to film that if that's all right with them, if they don't mind. And we're going to be putting up a new website probably, and that'll go on the website as well as any pictures or cast and, anything like that. That's all we ask is that you let us, put it on the website. And also, we're going to have a session, Friday when everybody gets out there if they feel like it. I know everybody, there's some people going to be jet lagged, but where everybody sits down and we meet each other and we have a little session of, talking about our experiences and everything. And I'm sure a lot of people want to ask me questions, so, we'll be doing that too. And I'm hoping that this is going to be fun for everybody. And I know that, not everybody's going to be happy or satisfied, but I hope that they do. I hope that they are. I'm doing this primarily because I would love to have people come out and experience the things that we have experienced. And even if it's just on a small portion, And we also have decided, we took a vote, me, Mo, and Tim. Tim's going to also be out there, by the way, that we're going to take some people into some hotter spots, just to do it, give them the experience.
I think that's a good idea. I know you guys will be safe. And it is, you guys are a great group of guys. I felt like I was out with family I know we've talked over the phone a million times, but we've never met. When we met, it was like meeting family and being out with family with you guys. And I know you guys will never say it, but I know you guys have been doing this anyway for a long time and not being paid for it, while other groups have charged for it. And you guys have taken those groups and those people into hot areas. And there has been, I'm glad Mo said, hey, I'm not guaranteeing anything. I think, like Mo says, anyone that guarantees that you're going to have a sighting, you kind of question that a little bit. But when I was out with you guys, man, like I said, it was Jurassic Park. I heard a lot of audio. I mean, I heard a lot of vocals. I heard a lot of, you know, I had a log thrown at me. A lot of different things. And even someone in our group did have a sighting through the night vision.
Yes, they did.
He had a sighting while we were out there, you know. So you guys do have some great areas. And I might even come out for the one of these expeditions and hang out with you guys.
Oh, man, that would be fantastic, Wes. You'll come out, and we can take you to some of the places we didn't take you before, too.
Yeah, I'd love to have you out, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. And how does someone contact you guys to sign up for the expedition? How does someone reach you?
Just give me a call, Mo Michelle. And you can call me at 443-794-7698. We will do a phone application when you're ready with a date. And as of right now, February and March is completely booked. The 17th, 18th, and 19th of March is booked, and February is booked. But we're going to open up two slots again, like I said, in April, Wes, the first weekend and the last weekend of April. And you can call me. Just don't call me at, you know, midnight, just because I have to get a lot of calls. I love to talk to people. People are great. You can call me or text me at that number, okay?
And that number again is 443-794-7698 to contact Mo to head out with these guys. I highly recommend it. It's an adventure of a lifetime. And I really appreciate you guys coming on and sharing the expedition information. And I'll probably see you guys down in Texas here in a few months.
That would be fantastic, Wes.
That would be awesome. I would love to see you again, man.
Hey, the feeling's mutual. Thanks, fellas.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Mo and Bob again. Wish you guys the best. Happy New Year. So if you get a chance, check out the expedition. Like I said, it will be it's an experience of a lifetime to go out with those guys. They really do have some hot areas that they go into, places I was blown away by. And I hope that if you sign up for the expedition, you'll have a great time, and I hope you will witness something. I hope some skeptics go down with those guys, because they'll change your mind about a lot of things. My girlfriend went down there. She's kind of skeptical, and she went down there, and by day two, she was like, I want out of here. I want out of this place. I don't know what's going on down here, but there's, you know, some monkeys are loose in this forest down here, and I want out of here. But I hope you go out there. I hope you have a great time. And let's jump into it tonight. Let's get to the encounter. I want to welcome Joe to the show. Joe, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you being here, man.
Oh, not a problem.
And if you would, you had a very interesting encounter, kind of a spooky encounter. Do you want to start from the very beginning, tell the audience what you're out doing? And then just walk them right into it, Joe. I mean, it was a pretty scary encounter, in my opinion. But go ahead. I'll let you give you the mic and tell us what happened.
Sure. I planned a trip to go to the Adirondacks. There's a river. It's called the North Branch of the Second Auga. And it's actually very secluded. So I'm planning this trip. I wanted to see if there was any brook that was located in the area. I know the Adirondacks full of native brookies, and I was really into fly fishing and fishing for them at the period. Getting there was just a total nightmare. I didn't plan on how bad it was to get back into this area. The only way that I know of to get back in this area is by kayak. The river's can get shallow. I know I had to cross beaver dams, had to drag my kayak over rocks. It went from short rapids to like flat areas of the river. So I get up into the area that I wanted to be, and I found an area that I can actually get to the shore and pitch my tent. So I went ahead and pitched my tent, And by the time I get up in this area, it was probably about 3:30. And just getting in there, I mean, it was exhausting. So I gathered some firewood, but I didn't gather a lot of it because I sort of planned on going to bed early. So I went ahead and gathered some firewood. And this was late June. And it doesn't really get dark out until roughly about 9 o'clock during this part of the year here in New York. So about 9:30 comes, I cooked some hot dogs actually on some sticks, and that's what I ate for dinner that night. So anyway, after I ate, I'm just sitting there relaxing. I think it was about 11 o'clock, and all of a sudden I hear these, now I know what they were, but at the time I wasn't sure, but I hear these tree knocks. And it was like, I don't know how to describe them. They were short, loud, and fast, like 3-4 times in a row. It was like, bam, 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 bam. So after I heard the first set of knocks, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, like, where are they coming from? Who's in the area? How do you even get here? Like, I was sort of confused on hearing them. And then about 10 minutes later, there was another set of knocks. And it happened like 3-4 times, these knocks. And they were just like separate from each other, separated by like maybe 5-7 minutes, I would say. And after the third, fourth time it's happened, it just became quiet. So I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, like, who's up here? You know, I couldn't believe that I was hearing this, to be honest with you. So I would say maybe about half an hour to 45 minutes later, I start hearing tree branches snapping, like something was coming towards my tent, and it was obviously not being quiet. It was breaking branches, and it sounded big. Now, I dealt with bears up in the Adirondacks. I did the high peaks. I've done a lot of hiking into ponds, and the black bears up here in New York, they're not, like coming to eat you, you know, you can actually scare them away pretty easy. I'll just give you one example. I was on the second highest peak in Adirondacks, and we're at a base camp, and I heard these Chinese people screaming. I walk over, and there was a bear literally laying on top of their food. I just picked up a log, and I just walked up to it, making myself look as big as I could, and the thing actually just took off. I mean, it's not... They're not just, they're not out there to eat you, pretty much. So I hear the branches breaking, and it's getting closer, and I'm thinking to myself, well, this is obviously a bear just by the sound, you know, just by the sound of how big it was. It was sort of like, when I first heard it, I didn't have a big fire going or nothing, so... After about 10 minutes of hearing all these branches breaking and it's getting close to my tent, now I'm thinking it's probably 100 feet away from me. So I start throwing on my firewood onto the fire to get it going so I can see what's going on. And in the area I was camping, like, you literally cannot see more than 30, 40 feet away from my tent. It was just, you know, it was so thick. So this went on, the noise, the snapping of the branches, me throwing firewood on the fire. This went on for probably about an hour and a half. And the whole time I'm just thinking it's a black bear. So I finally fall asleep, pretty tired from the day getting in there. I finally fall asleep. I get up the next day, and I make my coffee. You know, I just had instant coffee and stuff. So I made some coffee, went out, did some fishing. Didn't catch any trout, caught some sunfish in the flat areas of the river. That day, I come back relatively early. I come back from fishing, probably, I would say, about 2-3 o'clock. I start gathering a lot of firewood for that night. I actually spent like a couple hours gathering firewood, ripping birch bark off the deadfalls, because birch bark is really good, you know, fire for making fires. So I gather a lot of, you know, birch bark, and I gather a lot of firewood. It took me a couple hours. So after I gathered that, I was just sitting there. I'm thinking, like, now I start thinking about the night before on these tree knocks that I heard, which I thought somebody else might have been camping in the area. So I walk up this huge ridge, and I started investigating the area to see if somebody else is in there. I didn't find any sign. There's absolutely no trails in this area. And it sort of confused me. So I go back to my tent area, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should just mark my area with some bug spray. I actually had some off to keep the mosquitoes and the black flies away from me. So I walk around a perimeter around my tent, and I'm just spraying this off on these trees. And anybody that uses off knows that it leaves that scent on you. So anyway, I'm marking my whole perimeter around my tent, and I'm actually going away from my tent pretty far in. I'm going in anywhere from, I would say, 75 yards away from the perimeter of my tent, and I'm just spraying, like, trees here and there. Because I know the black bears, they don't like that type of smell. They don't like perfume or anything like that. Now, this brings me up to about 7 o'clock, I would say, and I spent the last couple hours just fishing before it got dark. So now about 9:30 comes and I do the same routine. I'm cooking dinner. And I didn't bring in, like, steaks or nothing. I just brought in a little tiny cooler with some hot dogs, some lunch meats or nothing. So it's not like I'm cooking steaks on the grill and I'm drawing in all these, you know, a lot of wildlife, smelling the grilling and stuff. So anyway, I eat dinner. And I would say right up at about the same time I heard these tree knocks again. And they were the same type of tree knocks. It was like, bam, 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 bam. But they were so loud and so fast at the same time. I'm thinking to myself, like, what in the hell is this? What's going on? And I would say it happened about the same amount of times. It happened like 3-4 times, spread apart, 5-7 minutes apart. And then it was just quiet. So all of a sudden, I'd say about half an hour goes by, and I hear these branches breaking again. And I'm like, whatever this thing is, it's coming back. So now I'm a little more prepared because I have a lot of firewood. So I start throwing firewood on the fire. And, you know, I got it ripping pretty good, probably 3 feet in the air. And I could actually see, you know, a little ways from my tent, not real far, say 30 feet. And now, I don't know, the first night it wasn't making as much noise as it did the second night, but the second night, it scared the shit out of me, to be honest with you.
What did you think was going on? I realize Bigfoot's not on your mind at this point. You're still thinking bear, but you hear these tree knocks. Do you think someone's messing with you? What's going through your mind at this point?
I did, in a way. I thought maybe that there might have been someone growing some pot in the area, to be honest with you. Being up in the Adirondacks, there are, like, small grow areas where people walk in and, you know, they'll plant a little grow. So I was thinking that maybe somebody was back in there trying to hide but trying to scare me off at the same time, because I'm thinking that, you know, that was sort of what was going through my mind. You know, I just put it as human-related on the knocks. But then I thought, same time with this noise coming in, I thought that was a black bear.
I gotcha. So what happens next?
So after it starts breaking these branches, it's coming in, and I know it's coming in. So I built the fire up so I could see a little bit further away from my tent. And I don't know, the second night, it was just like making it more obvious. Like, it wanted me to know that it was there. It was not trying to be quiet at all. I mean, it was snapping some of these branches, like huge branches. I don't know if it was snapping them off trees or just stepping on them. So now I'm a little more nervous than the first night. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I got the fire ripping. And this went on for hours. Like, that night I didn't get any sleep. I waited right up until pretty much dawn before I actually fell asleep. This thing was just pacing. It would pace from the side of my tent to the back. Like, it was literally just walking. It wouldn't come in front of me. It was just staying off to the side of me. It would go back to back into the area of the back of my tent. And then it would be quiet for like a couple minutes. And it would come back out. And I started getting really scared. You know, just because it was going on for so long. Usually, you know, if a black bear is going to bother you a little bit, they're not going to stand there and do it for hours, you know. and I started getting really scared. I didn't know what to do. Like, I went in my tent a few times, and then I could hear it actually getting closer when I went in my tent. And I'm saying, there was a few times where I'm like, hey, bear, hey, bear. I'm like, you know, I'm yelling at inside my tent. And then I'll get out, and I'll build the fire back up. And half an hour later, I would go back in my tent. I didn't know what to do. Like, if I was close to a road, I would have left. But I'm way back in, and it was a nightmare getting in there with my kayak. So there was no way for me just to leave this area. And this went on all night long. So I know it was probably, I want to say, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And after this thing's just pestering me all night, I finally get pissed off. Like, I started yelling in the woods. And when I started yelling, this thing, like, started, I don't know how to describe this. I don't know if it was yelling back at me or what, but it just let off these growls / screams. It sounded like somebody was killing a lion, and I don't know how else to describe it. It just sounded, it was so big and powerful that when it started doing this, I mean, I was literally scared, Wes. And I don't get scared easy. I've lived in the woods pretty much all my life. I mean, I started hunting when I was 13 years old. I trapped, I fish, I hunt. I mean, I'm a real pretty much outdoorsman. So I didn't know what was going on, you know. And then this thing, when it started making that noise at me, then I realized that, you know, this thing is like a very seriously rabid, big black bear that just wants to kill me. Or I didn't know what was going on, Wes. There were so many things going through my mind and being so scared because I was by myself. I didn't have a weapon. There was no way to if this thing came in, I had no way to scare it off. It had, you know, was I going to beat it with a stick, you know?
I don't blame you. I think most people in that situation, I mean, I'd be terrified in that situation, especially not having a weapon and hearing that. I've heard something like that before. Let me ask you, was it kind of like a lion's roar?
Yeah, it was like a lion's roar, but at the end, it just didn't stop at the end of the roar. It was more like a roar and a dash, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a scream at the end, but I don't know. It was really weird. Now, in New York, we don't have mountain lions. You know, the biggest type of cat that we have that live in the woods here are bobcats. And I actually caught them in traps before. And they don't make any type, there's nothing out there that would make this type of noise.
Yeah, it sounded like King Kong roaring at you. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know exactly.
And it was only 50 feet away from me. And, you know, 50 feet is not that far. It's not that far.
It's almost too close.
Yeah, it was definitely too close. It was definitely too close for me to even feel safe. This went on all night long. And I just, you know, come pre-dawn in the hours there. We do have... there's loons. I don't know, you know, if you know what a loon is. It's just a type of bird, duck type thing that, you know, and they make this particular note call that they do. And during the pre-dawn, the birds up there, they all get like sort of excited because daytime's coming, you know, and so they start making a lot of noise. And then I heard the loons, so I knew daybreak was coming. And then finally this thing, you know, after screaming at me for an hour, I'm going to say it was probably an hour that it was screaming at me. Finally, as these loons and everything was starting to make noise, it just sort of left the area. Because I didn't hear it for a good half an hour after I started hearing the birds. So I don't know if it knew that, like, daylight was coming, and it said to itself, like, well, I should leave, you know, just get out of here or whatever. But so I managed to crash out for a couple hours. And I got up, made my coffee, and I'm thinking, like, all right, well, I'm leaving today. So I started packing up my things, get my tent all packed up, and I started bringing stuff down to my kayak. And I would say probably 3 to 4 feet away from the front of my kayak, there was this perfect foot imprint in the ground. I mean, and when I say it was perfect, I mean, the type of mud that it stepped in, it couldn't have been any better. I mean, it was just perfect. So I knelt down in it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe this is a bear track. So I'm looking at it, and the black bears, the way that their paws are, that they're sort of rounded in the front. So, and sometimes, like, I know with the bigger bears, that they'll actually, when they step, that they can actually step their front paw, go first, and then their back paw sometimes can actually lead into the front paw. So, you're looking at one big footprint from a bear, but it's actually two, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I've seen that before, absolutely.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, I'm standing right over this footprint, and I'm looking right at it, and I'm like, I don't see any other sign that tells me that the back paw came into the front paw to make this big, huge footprint. Not only that, but the big toe on this thing was so obvious, like it was way bigger than the other four. Like, it just stuck right out. Well, definitely was not a bear print. And I didn't bring a camera with me. I didn't have my cell phone because there's no cell phone service. So I had no way to take a picture of it. And even at the time, like, I didn't believe in Bigfoot. Like, I wasn't into the Bigfoot thing. Like, you know, I heard a couple things on TV or, you know, movies about it. But I just didn't. I don't know, like the whole footprint thing, I just wanted to keep telling myself that it was just a bear print. Like, okay, that was just a bear print. I'm out of here. So I left.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, that's not where your mind's going. You're not sitting there trying to collect evidence. You know, you're not a quote-unquote enthusiast or researcher or whatever title people want to give themselves. You're not. That's not where your mind's going. I get that. I wanted to ask you, though, how big do you think that print was?
The print was, I'm going to say it was roughly about 15 inches. And I'm pretty good with my measurements. I mean, I just know from being such an outdoors person that I just know my measurements. And I would say it was really close to 15 inches.
Yeah, that's a big print. That's a really big print.
Yeah, it was huge. It was absolutely huge. It was huge. And the weird thing was is that all this noise was coming on the opposite side of my tent, because where my kayak was next to the river. So now that, you know, so anyway, let me just put it this way. So after this happened, I was going through, you know, I didn't want to even think about what happened. I didn't really tell anybody more. I just thought, I didn't really tell my friends about what happened because I didn't want to be looked at like I was some type of scaredy cat or whatever. I just kept it to myself, and I would say about 2.5 years ago, I was on the internet, and I just came across this thing where it said tree knocks, and I pressed it, like, play. I think it was on YouTube, and those tree knocks, when I heard it play, I'm like, it brought me right back to that night when I heard them. So then I'm thinking, like, well, with all that happened that night and with the footprint and stuff, now I'm thinking, well, this is probably a Sasquatch. So then I started, like, looking into YouTube videos. and actually, at the time, it was, you just got done doing your episode of your and Woody's encounter. It was your second episode, I believe. It was back in, what, 2012? I think that year was...
Yeah, 2012.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, I was like, did I listen to your encounter? And I don't know, just like through all the YouTube videos, now doing like my own little research on just on the internet, I'm not actually going in the woods looking for these things. But now I know that it was a Sasquatch. I know deep down because I was so scared. Like, I don't know how to explain the fear that I felt.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean by that. I definitely know what you mean by that. An encounter like this, the first night, as you and I talked about with old trapper stories and even witnesses I've had on the show, the first night you'll get some aggression if they want you out of an area. The second night it gets much worse, and the third night it can even get a lot worse. Obviously, it was trying to scare you out of the area, trying to get you to go. I find it interesting you found the track on the opposite side of the vocals. Either it walked around your campsite or there was more than one.
I actually think now that I think about it more, I actually think there's two of them. I think the one that was just, it was making a lot of noise on purpose. And the other one was just standing in the back of my tent, and it was just, it came around to my one side, and I never even knew what was there.
Yeah, I'd probably put my money on there being two of them. I wanted to ask you, wasn't there a guy that went missing recently in that general area?
Yeah. This actually happened on the other side of the Adirondacks, so, I mean, it's a good distance away. But people do go missing in the Adirondacks. You know, here's a guy that goes hunting with a group of guys. They separated to go sit in different areas, and they plan on meeting in a certain area. You know, before dark, they would all regroup in a certain area. So everybody gets together just before dark. Well, this older guy just doesn't come out. That night, they reported him missing. The next day, they started searching for him, and the search built up just from, you know, the first day was, you know, just like a group of people. But I would say about 15 days into this, they had like a couple hundred people. The FBI was involved. And he just totally disappeared. There was nothing, like, there was nothing hung in a tree. I mean, I don't know if someone's experienced in the wilderness and they get lost, the first thing that they should do is just, like, try to make their presence knowing that they're in the area by hanging stuff in the trees, or, you know, just make yourself known that you were there so the search people can find you. And this guy had a weapon, like he had a gun. So darkness comes, he's not shooting off rounds in the air at 11 o'clock at night, so people know he's in the general area. He just, like, disappeared. Like, they still haven't found him. There's no evidence. There's, you know, he's just gone.
Yeah, and that's strange, you know, when someone just up and vanishes like that.
And it's not only him that I know of. You know, I actually heard this from a report on Facebook, and then I investigated it, and, you know, I found out a lot more information. But another guy, you know, I know of another guy that just totally disappeared, and it was actually one of my father's friends that he worked with, and he was a real big Adirondack guy, and he just went missing, like, and they found his body, like, three, four years later, and it was just shredded throughout the woods, you know, from the scavengers, and they don't know what happened to him. Like, they don't know how he died or nothing, but I know from what my father was telling me, that this guy was super healthy. I mean, you know, that's what he did on the weekends, was he'd go up the Adirondacks and he'd just do his hikes. And my father said, you know, there's no way that this guy would have a heart attack or something. I mean, the guy would literally just walk, like, miles on end, and he was super healthy. And when they found his bones, I don't even think they found all his bones. He just found his skull, you know, back pieces of backbone here and there, but they don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, I hate hearing stuff like that. You know, sometimes accidents happen when people are out. I understand that. The ones that bother me are the guys that just vanish, the people that just vanish, or the dogs won't track them. There's an area here in Washington State where I don't want to say on a regular basis. What's regular when someone comes up missing? If it's more than once, I would say it's too many times. But in this one area, people go missing all the time and they just vanish. I mean, just completely vanish. And no, they're never heard from again. Their dogs won't track. I just hate hearing stuff like that. I really do. I hate hearing when someone just vanishes. Again, I know accidents happen when people are out there. People get hurt. You know, a lot of different things can happen. But sometimes I think that these creatures are involved in some of this.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but
And it happens way more than... And it happens way more than we think, Wes. And a lot of them, I don't even think get publicized. You know, like I started doing research just within the past year after reading, or not reading, but hearing about the 411 books. So I started looking into the New York State missing peoples, and there's not like a huge list of missing people. And I just know that there's a lot more missing people than what is being said that there is.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. It really is, Joe. It's I'm glad guys like David are looking into it. I'm glad you're looking into it. You know, I try and look into stuff like that. I really hate looking into stuff like that.
I do it myself too, Wes. It's just, it's very disturbing.
It is. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, Joe, I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your terrifying account. I mean, that really is terrifying when you feel like you're a piece of meat. You feel like you're prey, especially when you don't have a weapon, you know, and you're sitting there and just kind of hoping for the best. You really are at the mercy of whatever they want to do when you don't have a weapon.
Yeah, Wes, I don't scare easy, and like I said, I'm a real outdoors person. I mean, I actually start hunting in August, just scouting for deer, and I don't end my season until January looking for drop horns. I mean, I'm just, you know, I love the woods. And I never felt fear like this ever. I mean, I can't even describe how scared I was. I was sweating. I was shaking. I mean, it was a real awful feeling. It's, you know.
I can imagine. I think anyone listening can imagine, too, putting themselves in your shoes. Well, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem, Wes. And I just would like to say that, you know, Wes, you are a really good interviewer, and I love what you're doing by putting these things out there. And I would say, you know, if you and Woody do get a chance to blast one, go ahead.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the kind words, and we're trying. Like I said, you know, I think it needs to happen. And not that I really want to be the guy to do it, but if I have a shot, and it's more of a safe shot, I know the last show we did, it really wasn't a safe shot, but you know, if we have a shot in the future, I'm gonna take it, and I will drag it out. And if it's stupid to drag out, I will take its head off and drag it out. I think it's, you know, as heartless and as cold as that sound, it just has to be done.
I agree. I totally agree, because the government is obviously hiding it. I mean, it just, you know, by them going in themselves and killing these things off, in which I believe they do. If there's such an aggressive one in an area that's really bothering campers or whatever, you know, it's just, it's sort of weird how they'll shut down an area of a park and then all of a sudden the government shows up and they got everything blockaded and they don't want you in there. But then a month later, they reopen it.
Yeah, it's not, and I can guarantee this to people listening, whether we shoot someone or someone else shoots one of these things, it's not the first time it's been shot. I can guarantee you that. It's not the first time these things have been killed.
No. And you know how the government is, if they ever do catch somebody shooting one, they're just going to rip them. They're going to threaten them. They're basically going to threaten their lives if they try to expose it. So I think the real best thing to do is, if you shoot one, is to cut off a piece of skin, break off one of its tooth, and hide it, and then report it.
Yeah.
So you actually have DNA evidence.
Yeah, well, I hope someone does. I hope someone does. Well, Joe, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Wes. I love your show.
Thanks, Joe. And I want to thank Joe. I want to thank Mo and Bob for coming on. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope this new year is a good year for you. And let's look for a big year in Sasquatch Chronicles in 2016. Remember, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email, Wes@SasquatchChronicles.com. Have a great night, everyone.